Let us pray. Father in heaven, I ask for your spirit to move upon each and every one of us. Upon myself as well as I present the message from your good book. And Father, I ask that you will humble this vessel, that you will speak through me, that anything that I say and do will have nothing to do with me and everything to do with Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, myself and Pearl have been studying at home, and we were studying along in the Bible, and we came across this subject. And this subject is actually quite deep, quite thorough, quite intense, but to try to condense it down into 30 minutes, it's extremely difficult. But I feel it's important to share. And it's happening all around us as we speak. It's happening all around us. And it's happened in the past, it's happening in the present, and it will happen until Jesus takes us home. So are you scattered or gathered? Well, we're going to find out. I'm going to read a couple of Bible verses starting off just to get an idea. Okay? Matthew 12:30. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Leviticus 26:3. I'm just going to go them quickly, so if you want to write them down, you can. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Now, so far, it doesn't sound very good, does it? Deuteronomy 28:64, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. 2 Kings 17:18. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. Eden, can you turn down this mic a little bit? There's a little ping there. Thank you. Amos 9:9. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. And Jeremiah 9:16. I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. And it goes on and on and on and on. And so I just highlighted a few verses. You know, there are several recurring themes that are evident throughout the entire Bible. One theme is scattering and gathering. They express God's faithfulness and redemptive activity in the work of salvation. And so scattering is bad, yes. Gathering is good, absolutely. But sometimes gathering is good, okay? So I'll just leave it there for now. So basically, all of these in some way reinforce, all these texts and everything reinforce scattering and gathering. Scripture, you know, elaborates on these themes throughout the Old and New Testament. So some people say, well, that's just the Old Testament. No, it's in the New Testament too. So let's begin with Genesis 1. God saw all that he had made, and it was what? Very good, right? It was very, very good. And God placed Adam and Eve, in other words, mankind, in the garden, which was a type of the Holy of Holies. Did you know that? The Garden of Eden is a type of the Holy of Holies in the sanctuary. And sinless Adam and Eve were in the presence of God, and they did not die. So that tells you something. There was no sin. Here, scattering and gathering was not an issue. Not at all. Yet. And when sin entered the world, what had been very good became corrupted, and mankind was separated from a holy and just God. And of course, all you have to do is look around you, and you see separation everywhere, right? You know, our first parents lost friendship, they lost intimacy with God, and in response to their changed relationship, what did they do? They covered themselves, and they ran, and they attempted to what? Hide from God. They wanted to put a great distance between them and their Maker. And they now had knowledge of sin and themselves as sinners. And questioning them, after God questioning them and hearing their answers, God announced what? He announced judgment and he announced salvation. Right? There was judgment, but there's salvation. Genesis 3:15. All you have to do is read that text. And hearing the sentence of death along with God's promise of life, our first parents understood that there would be consequences for their actions, for their rebellion against God. Adam and Eve were now exiled. Exiled means what? Separated. Scattered. It means scattered from the garden and God's presence. So God desires a people to be in his presence forever. That's the reality. He wants his people to be with him. And it's very profound when you think about it. Even after sin entered the world in all of its debauchery, that's the only way you can put it, he still wants his people with him. He still does. He draws us all the time. So sin happened in the garden. So continued happiness, fellowship, and intimacy there, it would have continued between God and our first parents had they proved themselves to be faithful. And that's the key, faith. Unfortunately, they did not. They were not faithful, and they were exiled or scattered. And I'll read that text now, Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In other words, God's salvation is redemptive through the precious blood of the Lamb. Through Christ, we are God. Now, God's people are his from all eternity, but his eternal plan takes shape in the life of the nations all around us and individuals before us or all around us, right? Ephesians 1:4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So he chose us before what? The foundation of this world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I like those last two words. In love. God's eternal plan is that he is the God of his people and for the people to be his people. Amen? It's absolutely astounding. We don't deserve it. We don't. God took the initiative. He's took the initiative in the past. He's taking the initiative now. And he's taking the initiative in the future. He took the initiative from the foundations of the earth. I mean, that says a lot about God's character. It really does. Unfortunately, because of sin, there is scattering and gathering. Scattering, you can say, illustrates man's sin and rebellion. And gathering talks about God's trustworthiness and his love for each and every one of us. Adam and Eve and all mankind were scattered from the garden and the direct intimate presence of God. But he remembered his eternal covenant. What is the cost of God's gathering? So this is a study this morning. Okay, so what is the cost of God's gathering? There is, we understand as Adventists, there is a cosmic battle going on in this world, right? As well as an individual war within each person. And if you say there's not a war going on inside you, you better think again. Because there is every single day, right? Every single day. The way of victory was decided, though, and proclaimed by God. It's all about God. The seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. That's victory. That's victory right there. Victory is displayed as men and women, formerly God's enemies, who now bow the knee to a good and powerful and purposeful God. They enter into God's presence as his children. And they don't even deserve it. Right? However, after the fall, and in spite of God's promise, mankind had no desire or will to honor God. Only self. Judges 21:25 says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did what? That which was right in his own eyes. If you're trying to do something that's right in your own eyes, you better start looking up. You better start looking up, because it's not going to work out very well for you. It never worked out well for me. The Bible paints a vivid picture of scattering and gathering. The second commandment, God declared himself to be a jealous God. Let's read it. Exodus 25. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Let me ask you a question. Do people hate God today?
Boy.
That should be an instant yes. People hate God today. They deny God. They hate God. They marginalize God. What else do they do? His character is marginalized. It's crucified. It's everything. And I've said this repeatedly, God is blamed for everything. Everything. And Satan is a master, because he has convinced people that Satan doesn't exist and God is to blame for everything. That is a problem. But it's not too big of a problem for God. Okay? God will vindicate himself, and he will have a people that will vindicate him, that will stand up for him. The word jealous means God is relational and he's protective. Right? Some people say jealous in this context is a bad word. No. It's like when God says fear him, it doesn't mean that you're going to be terrified of him. It doesn't mean that at all. It means reverence. It means worship. It means, an intimate connection. It means all those things. It means love. Right? We should follow him with complete devotion and allegiance. That's what God is asking. God deserves to be worshipped. He deserves to be glorified. God opposes idolatry and idolaters. His jealousy includes a zeal for his people. Isn't that a good thing? He's zealous for each and every one of us. He loves you. He draws you. He watches over you. And he protects you. Unfortunately, the reality of a rebellious Israel is seen throughout the Bible. God's chosen people were not interested in honoring God in thought, in desire, or in deed, or in action. They were busy honoring themselves. They were like this. Well, we're God's people. We made it. We've arrived. Come to me. Come to us. We'll show you the way. No going out to them. No going out to the Gentiles. Right? Can't go out to the Gentiles, it's going to be corrupted. Right? Did you hear that before? Can't go out there. You're going to be corrupted. How are you going to witness? How are you going to witness if you don't witness to your neighbor, who could be a Gentile? Anyway. The reality is, they turned into a rebellious, prophet-killing nation. That's how bad it got. Let me ask a question. Is there any prophet-killing people today in the world? Oh, yes, there is. Oh, yes, there is. We have even individuals within the church who want to kill the prophet and prophets. Come on, let's be real. And that's the truth. The wonderful thing about all this negativity that I'm sharing is that God has given us a special gift. You know what that is? Repentance. And repentance can't even come from us. We can't generate repentance in of ourselves. You know, when we actually start truly repenting, guess what happens? God has given you the gift to repent. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's awesome. When you really think about that. And you will find God's people, all throughout the pages of the Bible, and even today, scattered. Throughout, you look at the prophetic books of the Bible, you have all kinds of scattering and gathering going on there. And, Israel was scattered in the Assyrian captivity in 723 BC for you historians, and the Babylonian captivity in 586 BC. They were all scattered, and it was all prophesied that they were going to be scattered. God gave clear instructions through his servant Moses that corruption in the form of self-worship through idol worship brings judgment and scattering. So if you ever find yourselves in self-mode, you know that the I arrived scenario, you ask God to give you the gift of repentance. Right away. Like right away. Get down on your knees and ask God for forgiveness. You know? And, you know, scattering, judgment and scattering are two terms that are synonymous with each other. You're scattered, you're under judgment. Why? Because you are going your own way. Right? You don't want anything to do with God. You don't want anything to do with him. You just want to do your own thing, right? And what about the wilderness wandering? All the people witnessed God's faithfulness. All through the wilderness wandering, they witnessed God's faithfulness in so many unbelievable, miraculous ways. Right from the plagues in Egypt, you know, the Red Sea, the wandering, the manna, you know, sending people, the 10 spies into the promised land. All that was all miraculous. And yet, who entered the promised land? The remnant, a remnant of all those people. Some say millions. Two people of the original crew. They all died in the wilderness. Two people that said, yeah, we can go take that land. Let's march for God. He'll get us through. He'll give us the victory. Two people of thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. What does that tell you about who is going to get to heaven? A remnant, we understand that. Bible prophecy, Bible study, a remnant is going to get to heaven. We know how many people that is. But of the multitudes that have ever been born and lived in this world, it's just a remnant that's going to make it. It's amazing. Why do you think God did the scattering anyway? You know? When you're scattered, you're under judgment. When you're gathered, you're under restoration. Isn't that good news? Both are intended to bring an inside-out change in his people. Each one of us have experienced scattering in our lives. Come on, let's be honest. We have. In some way, whatever it is. You know? And when we're scattered, it's like you talk about an alcoholic will often say, you know, and they go to AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and they take the 10. Is it 10 steps or 12 steps? 10 steps, I think. 12? 12? 12. 12 steps. And someone will ask them, you know, what brought you to this room today? What brought you to this meeting? And they will say, I was at my lowest, and I reached out and I said, I need help. Because I can't do this on my own. Now, in essence, whether they said I need Jesus or I need God, but they need help. And they're going to get the help because they can't do it themselves. It's the same thing with us. You know, we start relying on ourselves for everything. Not turning to God. We're in trouble. We really are. As individuals and as a people. So Israel found themselves scattered, you know, and they were, why were they scattered? Because they were idol worshippers. They wanted to do their own thing. Let's talk about the golden calf. Okay, that's a good story. So the golden calf. So Moses goes up to meet with God, to God, you know, writes out the Ten Commandments himself with his own finger. And spends, what, 40 days up there? And what happened down below? Well, there was a major upheaval, a major uproar. They said, look, this supposed man of God who led us into this treacherous desert, you know, he's probably dead up there somewhere. Make us a god that we can worship. Why? Because they understood a god of gold. They understood a god of wood. They understood a god, the gods of idolatry. That's where they came from. And so they reverted back to that. Moses comes down. I won't even get into what Aaron's part to play with that was. I mean, that's a whole other study. But so Moses comes down and he sees this debauchery going on, and that's exactly what it was. A complete, unequivocal chaos and debauchery, sexual immorality, everything that you could possibly think of, and even beyond that was going on. It was crazy. What was Moses' response? Righteous indignation, right? Righteous anger. And so God pronounced judgment on those people. You know, a lot of them were lost. They were killed. And some remained, right? Those who were killed, they were scattered, right? They were scattered. Once you're dead and you're not in a safe condition, you're scattered. Correct? It really is an amazing thing when you study this. But Isaiah 61:1 says this: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Okay, so let's go back here just quickly. So, the Lord hath appointed me to preach. Here's talking about Jesus, right? Jesus is going to preach good tidings unto the meek. And he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Captives are what? They're scattered, right? The opening of the prison, so prisoners are scattered. Those who are bound in whatever form, whether it's through sin and self, whatever, they're scattered. God's people will be brought out of bondage, in ignorance and arrogance and idolatry and self-pleasing, and placed in proper relationship with God. That's God's purpose. That's God's role. God formed us. It says here in Deuteronomy 43:1, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel." He formed us. He formed his people. "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." They're mine. God's desire and design is to be honored and reverenced. You know where you find that? The first four commandments. Love for God, right? You know? I am God. Love God. God is for himself and his people. He is in the business of cleaning us up. And that's what the scattering gathering is all about. Let's talk about, I'll read a couple of verses here about this subject. I won't get into the whole story. It's just very, everyone knows it. If I were to ask you a question, I should have asked it at the very beginning. If I were to ask you a question, what is a very, very well-known story in the Old Testament that defines scattering? The ark is one. What's the other one? Captivity. That's another one. There you go. Tower of Babel. Those other ones are right, by the way. Tower of Babel. Okay, I'm going to read a couple of verses. Genesis 11:4. "And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." So here they were, they're afraid to be scattered, not away from God, scattered away from each other, from self, and from self-power, right? And then God's response, Genesis 11:8-9. "So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, or Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." So guess what? They reap what they sow. They were afraid to be scattered from themselves, self. And God scattered them because they wanted nothing to do with God. And they had a lesson to learn. They had a lesson to learn, a big lesson. A big, big lesson. And we all have a big lesson to learn every day. Several of the minor prophets pick up the theme of scattering and gathering. Hosea was written largely to the northern kingdom. The theme was simple. Israel was an idolatrous nation. You see it all through the Old Testament. And God will discipline her through the Assyrian exile. And they did. Micah prophesied against the northern and southern kingdoms. They gathered, and the scattering theme is there as well. It's all there. Zechariah foretold Christ's coming, foretold the building of the Lord's temple, the Lord's reign, his rejection for 30 pieces of silver. And the major theme of the book is similar to the theme of the book of Revelation, if you really want to study it. Zechariah and Revelation. God's sovereign control over history, people and events scattering and gathering. So it's all there. It's all there. And in Jesus' time, let's get to Jesus, because he is the ultimate. Okay? What happened? Jesus was on this earth. He ministered for 3.5 years, we understand. He walked among God's people. He preached among God's people. He taught among God's people. He lived among God's people. He ate among God's people. And he also related specifically to Gentiles as well. Right? Samaritan woman, you know. There's lots of cases, I can't get into them all, but a lot of examples of him reaching out to the Gentiles. So what happened? His people wanted nothing to do with him. They convened a mock court, a mock trial, and used the authorities of the day to do their dirty work. That's still happening today, by the way. You know, you want to think about that for a little bit. And then he was ultimately killed. And praise God, you know, he's a risen Savior, right? Can't just leave it there. But that's what happened. They rejected him. What was the result? There you go. Bingo. That's what happened. The scattering of the Jews. And when did this specifically happen? You know, around AD 70, right? Destruction of Jerusalem. They were scattered. Why were they scattered? Because they were rebellious. They wanted to do their own thing. They wanted to be their own king. They did not want this Jesus person as their king. They wanted the titles. They wanted the authority. They wanted all of it outside of God. Although they proclaimed that it was all of God. Now that's pure hypocrisy in its purest form, if you can use that terminology. So they were gathered. When does the gathering take place? We're going to close now soon. When does the gathering take place? When Christ comes, right? We'll culminate when Jesus returns. John opened his gospel with a declaration that Jesus is God. We talked about that this morning. And his redemptive work as Messiah is representative of the God's eternal plan. Jesus is light, I should say. And light came to his people who were in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not, right? Like their forefathers, God's people of that day missed the point. They missed the point. They look for a physical gathering. They refuse to hear and obey and acknowledge and accept their spiritual bondage and Christ's ministry. They didn't want anyone looking at them and accusing them of being, you brood of vipers, you hypocrites. Can you imagine being there when that actually happened, though? Can you actually imagine being there? And Christ is in the middle of this throng of people, and these Pharisees are self-righteous. And he just exclaims openly, you brood of vipers, you hypocrites. Well, what would be our response if we were there in that crowd? shocked. You'd be absolutely dumbfounded and shocked that someone would actually speak that way to a religious leader. And back in those days, religious leaders were highly respected. And they were basically God on earth, if you want to look at it that way. It had to be astounding. It had to be. So, I'm going to close with this. Matthew 28:18-20. Matthew 28:18-20. These verses are the climax of Matthew's gospel. Let's turn there. I invite you to turn there with me, actually. Matthew 18. Have your Bibles with you. Matthew 28, sorry. 18 to 20. Here we go. So, these verses are the climax of Matthew's gospel and contains an important key to understanding the scattering and the gathering. Did you ever think that Matthew 28:18-20 had the scattering and gathering in it? Let's read it. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, stop, what's that? Gather. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So here we have the great gathering theme. Why is there a great gathering theme? Because there is a huge scattering problem. People need to know about Jesus. They do. They need to know about Jesus. So, in these verses, Jesus proclaims his kingly authority and his right to use it his way. He's not bound by anyone else. He can use his authority any way he wants. Right? In verse 19, Jesus commissioned the apostles to make disciples. He sent them as his agents to gather his children. The remnant. Truth and the Holy Spirit will bring his people into the kingdom. And in verse 20, as high priest, he guaranteed his presence forever. There I am with you always, even until the end of the age, right? It's amazing. God's church is his people for the people. That's sort of a play on words. You know, have you heard that government saying, you know, we're for the people type of thing? But God's church is his people for the people. Just think about that for a second. It's his people for the people. What people? The lost. The scattered. The scattering and gathering will have its work in bringing a people, the remnant people of God, into his eternal presence. Ultimately, separating the chaff from the wheat. We often talk about, you know, at the end of time, God's church will be separated and, you know, the chaff will be removed. The wheat will stay. Outside wheat will come in, that kind of thing. It's the same thing. Our role is, there's twofold our role. Okay, one is to make sure that our calling and election is sure. Make sure that we're not scattered in whatever way that is. And that could be a multitude of ways, right? That's our role. Our role is to make sure by divine presence of God, asking God for the gift of repentance and to repent when we need to, knowing, listen, we all know when we're going astray. That's no excuse. We all know it every time. And even something very simple, we know we're going in the wrong direction. We know it. You know why? Holy Spirit. There you go again. Holy Spirit, what's the Holy Spirit's role? Gather, 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 gather. So we really don't have an excuse. We have so much example in the Word of God. And when I'm speaking, of course, I'm speaking to everyone here. I'm speaking to anyone listening. I'm speaking to myself. You know, it's just really important. This subject is so important. Especially where we are in this time frame. Especially where we are. All of us here know exactly where we are. personally, but on the prophetic stage. We know where we are. We're right at the end. I heard a preacher say one time, here at the end of the world. I said, what? Here at the end of the world? And he's right. We are at the end of the world. How do we know that? Prophecy? How do we know that the end, that we're in the end time? Prophecy. 1260 years, the 2300 days, you know, all those prophecies. They all say that in our day and age, we are at the end of the world. We're living at the end of time. We are in the end of time. We are there. It's going to happen. We have to make sure our calling, election is sure. And that's it. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30. And this, write down this one, folks. Write this one down. And it's true. And this is Jesus' words. Matthew 12:30. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. So we have a role. Make sure our calling election is sure. And once we do that, and we're right with God, then we go with God, we go with Jesus, and help other people who are scared. That's the gospel, right? That's the gospel. So anyone ever comes to you and say the scattering, gathering is all bad, or the scattering is all bad, it's not. Because God gathers. He wants his people with him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for our time together. We thank you, Father, that you didn't just leave us here of our own demise. And even though we go astray, even though we put self first at times, you still gather us. You still draw us with your Holy Spirit. You still want to be with us. You want us to be with you for the ceaseless ages of eternity. Father, forgive us. Forgive us if we are wayward. Forgive us if we have turned our back on you. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to remain right with you by the power of the indwelling Christ through the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for your gift of love and salvation. For salvation is gathering. You gather your people home. And we can't wait for that day to come when you do break through the skies and call your people home too, that we may live with you for eternity. This old world has nothing to offer. This old world is nothing without you. Thank you, Father, for everything you do for us, for the plan of salvation from the beginning of time, or from the beginning of everything, is a better way to put it. Thank you, Father. Be with us now, in Jesus' name. Amen.